You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome to...
Do it again.
Wait, listen to what we just did.
Do it again.
Wait now. Okay, go, TT.
Welcome to...
You're supposed to say you're listening to...
You're listening to...
Podcast.
Everybody, we're back. This is Dino and Michelle.
Hey guys,
coming back with episode 2 of podcast. Let's apologize from the very beginning for any background noise that may happen. You know, we tried to put the kids down, and
kids will be kids. They will do what they do.
They're not having it. So they're going to try to stay corralled, and let's hope this comes off without a hitch. Next episode, I think we're going to bring Killian out to talk about some movies. I know we've been watching season 2, 3 of Skylanders Academy dropped on Netflix. I mean, that's a video game that, for a long time, I just didn't see the point of it. I thought it was a complete cash grab. You know, okay, here's a video game, and then you buy these toys to interact, when why not just click and become an avatar? Why do you put a toy on a portal? I thought it was just something to sell more. And then we picked up Spyro's Adventure a few years ago for Killian, and I quickly grabbed that, adopted it. It became mine. And then every game that came out after was mine. And all the
little toys figures are yours.
Are mine. And yeah, I'm a Skylander freak. And the TV show Skylander Academy is hilarious. And this season, they have brought on the character of Flynn, voiced by Patrick Warburton, like he is in the video game. And that's a guy that all he has to do is come on and talk, and I laugh just because he's hilarious.
We're going to bring Killian on next week.
We'll talk about that and some other stuff and some genre stuff that he's been watching.
Well, we know last episode we had talked about getting Killian to watch Frailty, and we did get that done.
Yeah.
He did go ahead and watch that, so maybe a little bit we'll get into
we'll get into detail with that. Also on Amazon Prime, I was watching the 1968 series The Prisoner with Patrick McGowan, and if you haven't watched that, go and watch that. It's on Prime. I think they even have it on YouTube, but for the quality and everything, go watch it on Prime.
I mean, Killian was even digging that one, the couple of episodes that he was watching. Mm-hmm. And he was asking, you know, things that he didn't, that didn't just come to him and he understood. He was asking questions, and they were all legitimate questions.
Yeah, and if you're not aware of The Prisoner, it is a, this guy is a spy. I think he worked for MI6. He retired, went home to his apartment, he was gassed, woke up in this resort-type town called The Village, where he is known as Number 6. So he, once again, Patrick McGowan plays the spy who retired, and and went home to his apartment, was gassed. He wakes up in this place called The Village, which is an island run by this government body that wants to find out why he resigned and is trying to do everything in their power every episode to pluck his brain to find out what he knows. And every episode he is trying to escape. And it ran for one season. And it's just a brilliant show. Specifically episode 4, which is called Free For All, which has to do with elections and election spins. And part 6, which is called The General, which is very prophetic about social media. And how life is lived in bite-sized little clips, and how everybody regurgitates the same information without, they know the what, they don't necessarily know the why and the how. But you know it because you were told it, and that's it. But that's what I've been watching. Also saw a great, I won't say a great movie. It was a good movie. It was a pretty decent movie on Shudder called Ruin Me. And it was one of those, you go on a haunted, you know, a weekend horror experience type of thing. You know, you pay for this weekend experience, horror, you're in a horror movie, and then things go real pear-shaped, and it may or may not be real, and is it real, is it not? It's pretty April Fool's Day, you know, Clue, like that type of thing. I won't tell you anything more about it. Go watch it. It's pretty decent.
I somehow missed that one. Don't know where I was while you were watching it.
You were with Killian. You went to, you were at, I watched it when you were at Young Marines. Okay. Yeah, so.
I was going to say, that did not ring a bell with me, so I don't remember watching that one.
That was good. That one, you should pick up on that one. Once again, that was on Shudder. They don't sponsor us, but they should. So. But,
and we have no shame.
No, shameless. But, yeah, well, Ryan and I went and played poker. That was cool.
Yeah.
Did poker with some guys. Yeah, we were
kind of... He's gonna make me jealous again.
We were looking for, we've kind of been in a flux looking for a new church. And we visited this other church last week and went over to the, what they call the hub, which is where they tell you what groups are in the church and the connections and this. And they had men's poker night on the last Friday of the month. And I said, you know, if there's a church that has a men's poker night, it's probably the church for me. So went out and played, didn't win, but racked up a few points. And this is a league. This goes on every month. So that's kind of a fun thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the other night we watched Frailty. And we talked about, we had Killian, you know, he sat down and watched it. And we might get his thoughts on that next time. But we sat and watched it. We had seen this when it first came out in theaters, not knowing anything about it.
Uh-uh.
I mean, this was, I know we had mentioned last episode that the church that where we were in Florida were very strict as far as their movie code and code of conduct per se. And when they lifted the rated R movie ban, this was one of the first movies that we went and watched. And all I knew about it was, hey, it's a good movie. and it was playing at the theater right near our house.
A lot of times I just tagged along, so.
So we said, okay. And I've made some giant missteps.
We used to keep tally of who picked the worst picks from the movie, from the rental store.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, and we've had some doozies.
Never look up Axum.
No. Axum. A-X. Apostrophe E-M. Do it if you dare. Go on YouTube. They probably have a clip. In the beginning, they have a scroll of the movie, of, you know, backstory. And there were spelling errors and grammatical errors in that scroll.
Oh, that whole, in the whole first 10 minutes, they have everybody's head, like.
Yeah.
Everybody's head is cut in half.
Yeah, like, yeah. The frame line was completely, you know, at the eyebrows of anyone 6 foot high, you know. Oh, it was bad. And you would have seen a boom mic if they actually used mics. I don't think they did.
We never even made it through that movie.
We got
10, 15 minutes in and we shut it off. But yeah, so that was the time when we just started.
Yeah, anything that was put out by Asylum at the time, which Asylum was not the Asylum. Like, now Asylum is entertaining in the movie, but then they weren't. And then I think it was another distributor, MTI or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was MTI.
Where, when you heard their music for their distributor, we would go, oh, crap.
Well, because I was never very good at, you know, I would read the back to see what the story was, but I was not very good at, you know, looking down and looking at the logos to see
who distributed it
and who produced it. And if I had done better at that, I would have put more back on the shelf and walked away.
But some of them were, you know, good for what they were.
That is the one thing, you know, I do enjoy going to the video stores. You know, we've talked about this before, you know, just amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's something about going to the physical video store and looking at the movie boxes and reading. And there's just something about that. I mean, even our kids love doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't do it often, but we do have a family video here.
Yeah.
So we actually do have a brick and mortar store to be able to go into. I lost my train of thought.
Reading boxes?
Oh, yeah. I used to like going in and reading the boxes. So there is something to that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that we've complained about is, you know, with the Netflix, you don't get that experience. But then at the same time, you're not wasting money.
Yeah.
If you turn something on and it's not good.
Yeah.
You just shut it off and you don't feel guilty because you didn't waste $3 on a rental.
Right. The worst, though, and this is something, you know, no matter how bad the movie was, if I put on the title menu screen and it had special features, and I clicked in those special features, and it said audio commentary. It was like, damn. Because now I've obligated myself to watching this movie at least one more time, depending on how many commentaries are. Because no matter how bad a movie is, I'm a sucker for a commentary.
Well, maybe if you get into the practice, if the movie is horrible, you watch till you really don't want to watch anymore, and then you shut it off, and then you just watch it with the commentary.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch the actual film itself, just watch the commentary.
Yeah, that's true. I can do that. But anyway, so. Oh, yeah, so back. Rewinding that a bit. Going back. So, yeah, when that rated R movie banned, we went and we saw Frailty. And I think I knew at the time that Bill Paxton was in it, but I didn't know he directed it until we were sitting there watching. And I said, oh, crap, this is actually directed by Bill Paxton. So, so starring Bill Paxton, Matthew McConaughey, Powers Booth, who we lost both Powers Booth and Bill Paxton last year. Jeremy Sumpter, who went on to quite a few things after that. He, I think it was Peter Pan. He did a few other movies. He did some baseball TV show, whatever. This was written by Brent Hanley, who he wrote that. He did a few shorts. And basically, this film is starts off in a FBI office. Powers Booth is his FBI agent. He comes in. He finds out that there's a guy sitting in his office, Matthew McConaughey, who is he's saying that his brother is a Gatan killer.
Which is the killer agent has been
trying to track
for several years. Right. Several years.
And he says he knows who he is. It's his brother. He knows where bodies are buried. And he proceeds to... It becomes a period piece. Goes to late 70s, about 78, 79. And there are these two brothers. Fenton is an older brother. Fenton Meeks and Adam Meeks. And they're, you know, two brothers. They get along with each other. Everything's going good. They have their dad, who's known as Dad. Doesn't have a first name. He's a auto mechanic, you know, hardworking guy. Loves his sons.
Trying to do the best that he can for the both of them. Because his wife, their mother, had passed away in Adam's birth, I believe.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're living life, and one night, Dad wakes the boys up from sleep and says, "Hey, I got a message from God. We're going to kill demons. I'll tell you more later when I get the information. Bye." And that's pretty much what it is. Fenton, you know, they wake up in the morning. Dad and Adam seem to be acting normal. Fenton's like, did last night really happen? As they're walking away, Fenton's like, well, he blows it off to, you know, a bad dream. But Dad says, "Hey guys, remember, don't tell anybody what we talked about." Fenton's like, "Oh crap, this actually happened." So for a while, you don't hear anything about anything. And I think it was about a week later, Dad comes back.
I mean, Fenton finally is convinced that his dad's just let it go. His dad's realized, hey, wait a minute, that really wasn't.
It was, you know, maybe the beer sat a little wrong, or, you know, the potato and gruel they ate for dinner, you know, a la Scrooge. Didn't sit right, and finally, did the weapon come first, or the list?
What, the weapon.
He gets the weapon?
He gets the weapons first. Three weapons in
the
total.
The three weapons, God's supposed to give them weapons to fight the demons. One is the pipe. One are gloves, that way they can safely handle the demons without being affected. Mm. Because once they lay hands on the demons, they're able to expose them in all their sins. And another one is
an axe
named Otis, which evidently, interesting story. Bill Paxton has said that. He knew of a homeless guy named Otis, mm-hmm. and the homeless guy, Bill was gonna give him money, but the homeless guy keeps saying, "Oh, I don't think he was homeless," but the homeless guy said, "Well, I don't want to take your charity," So Bill Paxton paid him lunch money for the rights to use his name as a character in the movie. So he paid the man whose name was Otis lunch money to use his name as a character, because he acts as a character in this film.
That's cool.
I kind of thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite interesting, though, it's not like they just show up at his door, you know? He's on his way just home from work one day, and a light shining into a barn.
Yeah.
And he just knows that that's what he's supposed to do, is he's supposed to go into that barn. Because that light is God saying, hey, look here, this... what I have for you is in here.
Right. Yeah.
So it's the father's not looking for these things. These things are just being given to him,
or he perceives that they're being given to him.
Yes.
So then, in due time, he ends up with this list of demons. And Fenton's looking at this going, Dad, these are actual people. You know, it's not like you're looking at, you know, Abaddon on a list. You know, you're looking at Jim Johnson here. These are actually people. And, Dad's like, no, they're not people. They're demons. Pretend to be people. And this and this. So they go out and they find their first victim. Well, no. They're sleeping. The boys are sleeping. Dad comes home. Guys, come on outside. Well, Dad done got his first demon, which was this waitress. And he lays his hand on his demon. He jumps back. Adam jumps back. Fenton's standing there going, what the heck are these guys doing? You know, oh, you're a demon. Dad hacks her up and they bury her in the rose garden. And this proceeds.
Well, you know, the one thing I didn't notice till we watched the movie, you know, a second time, it isn't something that you would necessarily notice by seeing it, but I didn't put two and two together, is, you know, he was given this list of these names, but apparently these people were not near him. Like, there were times where he had to go towns away.
Right.
For these people.
Right.
But he would know what their name is, where they lived.
Yeah.
You know, so it's when you look at it a second time, you're wondering, you know, is he just go, because back in the 70s or 80s, they still had phone books, you know, right. So is he just taking the white pages and
going and
flipping and picking a name and then going to that town, you know. Or is he truly receiving these names and getting these addresses and you know, knowing where to go?
Right.
You know, is he truly receiving these? And that was something that the first time we watched it, I missed. I don't know if that was something that everybody else just kind of picked up on right away, but I didn't, you know, that didn't dawn on me till watching it again. Yeah.
So as this proceeds, they get more, you know, there's more and more demons that Dad and the boys go to. And Adam's all in on this.
Well, he at one point even walks in. Dad, I've got my own list.
I've got my own list of demons. You know, and Dad's like, yeah, let me see. He picks up the list and looks and goes, wait a second. Didn't this boy pick on you? and Adam's writing down a list of school bullies, and he's like, Adam, listen, we can't go killing people. That would be wrong.
Right, and I mean that started the whole conversation with Fenton.
And Fenton's looking at him like, "What the heck are you doing?"
And that's where the dad, you know, explains that there's a difference between killing a person and destroying a demon.
Yeah, we're taking them and pitching them back into hell, and Adam. If we did your list, we kill people, and that's wrong. So, and Fenton's, like, convinced that, you know, God's not talking to Dad. Dad's off his rocker.
He's pulling Adam down with him.
Pulling Adam down with him, and Dad's heart's breaking because Fenton doesn't see it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, if he doesn't see it, what does that mean?
Right. Why doesn't he see it?
Why doesn't he see it? Does he not want to see it? You know. And if he just prays to God, God will show him the way. And like I said, you know, it's one of those things where I didn't pick up on it until about the second or third viewing of the movie. And we've seen this quite a few times. Where when Dad touches the demon, you see Adam in the background. And when Dad jumps, so does Adam.
And it's almost simultaneously. So it's not that Adam sees Dad jumping.
Right.
So Adam jumps. It's like the same, the same exact moment.
Yeah.
They're jumping.
And when he releases his hand, you know, Dad's like, oh my God, you know, and Adam's got this look of, like, wide-eyed, you know, and he's breathing heavily, and Fenton's just like, what? You know, like this cold, like, no. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not good. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Fenton goes at one point. I don't know if we were getting to this part yet, but you know, he realized that he needs to put an end to this, so he actually goes and goes to turn his father in.
And this is
to the sheriff,
right? And Dad had warned,
yes,
you can't tell anybody, because if you tell somebody is going to die. And we don't want someone to die. We want demons.
Right. So Fenton had gone to the sheriff and turned his father in. Well, the sheriff doesn't believe him, of course,
right,
because a small town, 70s.
Right.
The sheriff knew who
guy.
The sheriff knew who the kid was, knew who the dad was, took him home. Long story short, in the end, somebody died. Because
Fenton
told the sheriff, when all was said and done after that meeting, the dad had to kill the sheriff.
And then the dad, I mean, after killing the sheriff, he turned around, he puked.
He puked.
He was destroyed. And I had to kill somebody that was so wrong. And it's... In light of what has happened in this whole movie, you're looking at that going, what?
Right, yeah, as viewers, you're looking at this point, you're looking at it saying, he's killed, by this point, you know, 5 or 6 people, or, you know, from what you're seeing.
From the course of the...
You know, because you're seeing all of this through Fenton's eyes. Fenton is telling the story, so you're seeing it through his eyes, so you as the viewer are saying... what you're seeing is that the father has lost his moral compass, has lost his ability to reason, and is going out killing these people, saying that they're demons.
Right.
So that's your viewpoint. That's how you're viewing what's going on. Mm-hmm. So when you see the father get distraught over killing the sheriff,
mm-hmm,
to the point of vomiting, you're like, this just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
No.
So then after that happens, where does it go from there?
That was after that, then.
They stopped for a while.
Well, isn't... Did he dig the shed before that?
Yeah,
he
had dug the shed before that.
What happened then... was that was when Dad threw Fenton into the shed on the ground and locked him in.
Okay.
And told him, you'll stay down here until God talks to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, an angel came to me and told me that you are a demon.
And I don't want to believe it.
So... pretty much, we're going to exorcise the demon out of you. You're going to be locked in here and pray to God that he delivers you from this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he locks him in there. And I'm trying to, I think it was it a week? 8 days?
Yeah, 7 or 8 days.
It was
days.
Like 7, I think it was on the 8th day God spoke to me. I think that is what he said.
Okay.
Which, if you look at, you know, it could be a creation thing. You know, 7 days or, you know, numbers mean things in the Bible. And so, at this point, he says, God spoke to me. Yeah. And
he, at that point, he's fully on board.
Right, he's fully on board. I get it, Dad, you know. And I'm like, you know, what does he look like? What does he sound like? And Dad's like, just leave him alone. No one can explain something like that, you know. And Adam's like, oh, I'm jealous. All I get to see is demons. And you get to see God.
Yeah, well, you guys, Dad, you saw an angel. You see, Fenton gets to see God, and all I see
Are demons, you know. Poor Adam's got the short end of the stick over here. He's only seeing demons. You know, and Dad's like, yeah, but look at the price.
Yeah.
He had to pay to see it. So they get their new name.
Oh, to back up just a little bit, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but one of the things, a important piece of information that the angel had given to the father was that they didn't have to worry about being seen. Because God was going to protect them.
Right.
That if there were video cameras,
right,
the feed would be messed up.
They would be virtually, right, they would be virtually undetectable.
Right, because actually the very first person, well, not the very first person, because the father had brought the one waitress home, but the first person of the three of them that he took his sons to was in a grocery store parking lot.
Yeah.
In the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody witnesses it.
Right.
Nobody sees them, you know, three people outside of a van bash a guy in the head with a pipe.
Right.
Nobody sees that.
Okay.
So that is an important, okay, that'll play into later. But all
right. Yep. Okay. Now, see, I'm torn right now. Because, and we should have talked about this before we started recording, but we're going to be open and honest right now and say, we're trying to make this as natural as possible, as unscripted as possible. So here's the thing. This movie was made in 01. It is 17 years old. However, I think it's very underappreciated. I don't think, you know, I think there's a whole lot of people that haven't seen this yet. But it is 17 years old. It's been around. It's not hiding. So, do we just talk about it with spoiler? Or do we stop at a certain point and say, go watch the movie?
That's a hard one.
Because right now we're getting into some things that are very, there are things that you pick up watching that where you're like, and if you know it is, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If you, I want to say if you haven't seen it by now, go watch it in light of what we're telling you.
Yeah, it's let's just leave it at that. Let them see it.
Okay.
So they can get the whole experience. You know, it's like somebody giving you the ending to The Sixth Sense. You know,
right?
It just spoils the whole thing, and it doesn't make the thing, you know, doesn't make the movie as enjoyable.
Right, because there's
But there are a lot of things that, you know, if you pay attention to, you can pick up on some different things going through the film. And that's why we've watched it multiple times.
Yeah.
Because each time we've watched it, we've picked up.
Yeah.
We've picked up something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I guess at that point, as far as narratively speaking, we may want to stop right here.
Yeah.
Because this is where,
that's where it, this now is we're starting where, to get into a point where it's revealing.
Revealing a lot. So if you haven't seen Frailty, go see it. I highly recommend it. Okay, so we're calling an audible here, and we are going to talk about the rest of the movie. If you haven't seen it yet, stop, go see it, and then come back and listen to this. So after Fenton heard from God.
Mm-hmm.
They go out for another round of demon hunting.
And this time it is just Fenton and his dad, right? I don't think Adam's there.
Right. I think it's just the two of them. And they go to the guy's house and he's this abusive jerk, you know. And so dad goes up with the guise of they need a tire iron.
Yeah,
something like that from the garage. So as they go into the guy's garage workshop, and dad's about to strike, Fenton knocks over something. And the guy looks, sees dad going to attack. He hits in the dad, like, you know, probably fractures a rib or something. But it wasn't as smooth as the rest of the abductions.
Right.
You know, you can make the argument that this is Fenton's real first time doing this and gets nervous and trips. Or another theory that I have. So they go, they get the guy, bring him down to the shed, and this is Fenton's time to
man up
and bury the hatchet across the guy's neck and arms and legs and all that. And Fenton is sitting there and he's about to do it. And Adam's waiting for him to do it. And dad's waiting for him to do it. And Fenton turns and whoop, nails dad right in the gut.
Old dad.
Good old dad. And then crumbles him. And then Fenton comes over to go rescue the guy playing the hero,
mm-hmm.
pulls the tape from his mouth, and the guy screams, ah! And you see Adam coming down with the axe and chops the guy up.
Yep.
And then that's when we're out in the rose garden again,
mm-hmm.
and they disposed of the guy, and Fenton turns to Adam and says, Adam, promise me you're going to bury me. So this is where the twist comes in, because here we believe that grown-up Fenton is coming to tell the FBI agent
that his brother is a
God's hand killer, and he was telling the story, and he had promised his brother Adam that is where he would bury him. And at this point, the FBI agent turns and goes, wait a second. I thought you said that you promised to bury your brother, yet Fenton. Wait, what?
But they're in the cop car at this point, mm-hmm. on their way to the Rose Garden.
Mm-hmm.
When you're starting...
No, didn't they get there? No, they had gotten there at this point.
Were they there?
Because they were there.
Oh, okay.
At this point. This is at the very end.
Okay.
And he goes, well, this story makes no sense.
Well, I mean, the cop had started to figure something out on the way there, though. He started to see some little...
Right.
Inconsistencies or questions.
Right. And then he also noticed that there were more bodies than what were supposedly, you know, from the God's hand killer.
Right.
And this is where the grown-up Fenton flips the script and says, no, the story makes perfect sense if the person you're talking to is Adam Meeks. So this was actually Adam telling the story, and Fenton really was a demon.
Mm-hmm.
Adam was the God's hand killer, but
he was telling his own,
turning
himself in, essentially
turning himself in as the God's hand killer,
or so you think, still at this point,
right?
At this point,
and then turns and reads the FBI agent's mail, so to speak, Because in the very beginning, he was holding a picture of the FBI agent's mother when he first came in. And the FBI agent had said that he got into the law because some sick, some bitch killed his mother. Mm-hmm. Well, surprise, surprise, this FBI agent is on Adam's demon list because he was a sick, some bitch that killed his own mother.
Well, he was already in law enforcement, though, because the picture
was... Oh, that's right. It was him in a uniform.
Him in a uniform, right, with his mom, but I think maybe he went into the FBI, into that division,
right,
because his mother was killed. Because I think he said the mother was killed 3 weeks after that picture had been taken.
Yes, yes. So then, at that point, Adam touches the FBI agent, and you see the murder, and they also go back and they show that when Dad was touching the people, they're doing a series of flashbacks, that these people were actually demons that committed all these crimes. And Adam did really see what Dad saw when Dad put his hands on him. And like I said before, you can tell in the movie, when Dad would lay his hand on somebody, you'd see Adam in the back jump right in time with Dad.
Right. And Fenton wouldn't. Why would Fenton, when he himself...
Right. One would...
Is a demon. Right. He's not going to jump or be scared at his own...
Or even be, you know, realize... You know, wouldn't see what was going on.
Well, wouldn't see it as bad.
Right. Wouldn't see it as bad. Wouldn't see it... I mean, would realize, but wouldn't actually see the vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not connected in that way either. There was something.
Well, Fenton himself, actually, and we kind of hinted at this when we said, you know, he moved away from God as mm-hmm. well as moving away from his father. But when you actually, Fenton himself becomes a serial killer.
Yes.
Not the God's hand killer, but he himself becomes a serial killer. And therein lies the sin that Fenton commits that puts him on the demon list.
Right. And there's a really cool... There's two really cool shots. One when Fenton is in the... When Dad puts him in the basement, in the bunker there. And there's about the point where he says, like, on the eighth day God's put... And you see, like, this disembodied head of Fenton, you know, kind of like his head just floating. And then I think when Dad kills a sheriff, you see Fenton standing there looking, and he kind of backs up into the shadows, and the shadows kind of close in around him.
Okay.
I mean, that...
And that would be where he, you know... He,
where his actual actions were responsible for someone dying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that cloak of darkness right there.
Right, but I mean, that's when the demons are kind... You know, so the dad's actions,
mm-hmm.
in a way, caused his actions and him to become who he ultimately became, which was a demon.
Right, yeah.
Because he, even though he was... you know, you were talking about when they were singing mm-hmm. the song, you know, even though he wasn't as into it, he was a good kid.
Yeah.
And it was the whole, even though what the father and Adam saw and was doing in this movie was true and accurate,
mm-hmm.
it caused him to go a completely different route that he never would, I don't think, he ever would have gone on his own.
Right. Yeah. And and then, like I said, at the end when they went to go get that last guy, mm-hmm. you know, you could look at it, and I think the demon in Fenton purposefully tripped or knocked over the, you know, whatever he tripped over, I forgot what it was, to take that guy's, you know, to try to protect that guy from being killed by Dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that was an accident. I think it was the demon in him that triggered that. Mm-hmm. You know? So.
Well, do you think that the demon within Fenton was trying to stop the father from doing what God?
Yeah. Yeah.
What God had ordained and God what mm-hmm. God had wanted.
Yeah, and I think it was probably about maybe the second or third time that I've seen the movie that kind of came across. Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe that wasn't just a oops. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, speak.
That was a calculated effort on that demon's part.
Okay, right. And then, you know, in speaking before about the videos and everything and watching things multiple times, you can see. You know, you go back and you see where the videos were scrambled, and you notice how people didn't see things, and then you notice...
Well, we didn't even get that part yet.
Which one? Okay, go ahead.
Because we didn't even finish the narrative.
Go ahead.
So, Fenton kills the FBI agent, and then everyone is looking for this FBI agent now, because he's missing, and everyone in the station... knows they saw somebody, remembers speaking with somebody, but they don't remember what he looks like, what his name was, what his voice sounded like. They have no recall of him.
And they tried getting on the video cameras because it's the FBI office, so they're going to have surveillance cameras.
And all the pictures are, you know, major tracking problems and scrambled and all that. And they even call and go down to
the sheriff's department.
Sheriff's department in the town, mm-hmm. and they call for the sheriff, and here comes the sheriff, who happens to be Sheriff Adam Meeks. And he shakes the hand of the one FBI agent and says, "You're a good man." Mm-hmm. But that brings me to another thing, too, is even from the beginning of the movie, if you see all the interactions between Adam and Powers Booth, he never touches him.
Right.
In the beginning, he hands him the picture, never touches him. When he goes out to the car to go, you know, because at this point, Adam is handcuffed.
Well, he asked to handcuff himself. He wouldn't even let the officer handcuff him.
Oh, right. He goes.
He said, "Let me do it myself."
Let me do it myself. He handcuffs him, and then when he goes into the car, as cops do, he goes to take his head and guide him in. He goes, "Nope, I got it." Goes in, comes out himself, never lets himself get touched, which I thought that was a really cool, you know, plot device thing there.
Right.
Yeah, right. And then what's great is at the end of the movie, you see Adam and his wife, who's pregnant,
and is the 911 dispatcher
right
for the city.
And they're there, and as the FBI agent drives past, you see it's a pullout of the town, and you see two boys, I think, like on a scooter and running past. And those two boys are actually Fenton and Adam. Mm-hmm. I mean, the actors playing them, riding through. So, that is the story there.
Killian mm-hmm. watched it with us this last time that we mm-hmm. watched it, and he thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, he liked it, and he was like, holy crap. I mean, as far as blood, for a movie about beating demons over the head with a pipe,
And
chopping them up and burying them in a rose garden, there's like no blood in this movie. There's a few language things, a few F-bombs, one or two, mostly by Powers Booth. I don't even think, you know, the father and the kids, they're, for all intents and purposes, a pretty decent God-fearing family. But yeah, I mean, one of the big takeaways that we can reveal, you know, because we have, you know, you have a dad that is treating both the sons the same way, revealing both things to them. Yeah, one is a little younger, and you can arguably say more impressionable to what dad is saying.
Mm-hmm.
but he's giving them what he feels in his mind is spiritual truth. One is grabbing it full on board, and the other one is rejecting it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cold.
Yeah. Just flat out.
And that's, I mean, that's the way...
I mean, not only was he rejecting it, but it was changing his view of his father.
Right. Changing his view of God.
Changing his view of God.
Because it wasn't like Fenton isn't anti-God. And he wasn't anti-dad. He was just like, this makes no sense. No, you know. But even in the beginning, though, when you first see the boys, they're walking home from school, and Adam, the younger one, is singing, you know, I've got the joy down in my heart. And he's pointing to Adam, and he's like, come on, say where. He's like, where? No, not now. When I say, you know, participate in the joy, mm-hmm. in the hootenanny, in the celebration of God here, mm-hmm. you know. And you go, I got the joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? You know. So, even there, it's a little, you know, one's a little more all in mm-hmm. on the God thing. Mm-hmm. You know. But.
Yeah, I mean, and that's before anything happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's when they come home and fix dinner. Mm-hmm. You know. Which, I mean, hey, I mean, Fenton, for all intents and purposes, is a great kid. You know, he's home, he's, you know, dad's not home yet, so he's making dinner for the family.
He made dinner every night, made sure that Adam did his homework.
Yeah, they sit down, they're watching Davy and Goliath together, you know, and all that.
Yeah, didn't Killian, when he was watching it, because Killian used to watch Davy and Goliath.
Yeah, we had...
I used to watch that show.
Yeah, I had that show. What was that called? Davy and Goliath, yeah.
I think we still have the DVD somewhere.
I think we might.
Probably try and dig it up and show it to the girl.
But, yeah, so. That is.
But one of the conversations that it sparked with you and I, that we've had before, of course, but is how children respond to their parents' mm-hmm. belief systems.
Right.
You know, negatively, positively. And how much influence a parent really has on young children.
Mm-hmm.
And not to get too religious on the subject, but, and I'd seen this, had this discussion with somebody on Facebook the other day, is a child a Christian because their parent is a Christian?
Right.
Does their parent make... being a Christian make their child a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
My personal belief is no.
Right.
I did not believe that I did not consider Killian a Christian until he said that he believed.
Right.
That he had his own faith.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, then he became a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But that is something without, again, trying to give too much to the movie,
mm-hmm.
that comes up.
Yeah.
That definitely plays a role.
I think, yeah. And once again, you know, watch the movie, watch that end, because I think that plays a huge role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's definitely something that I wanted to bring up in this, so I tried to do it in a way that wasn't going to spoil too much.
Yeah.
But
I think you did good. So, all right. So... is there anything else that we got?
No. Don't know what series we might pick up next to watch with Killian, but we'll figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
Want to continue going down the M. Night Shyamalan series with him. As you said last time, we've only gotten to...
well, we watched... right.
Right. Yeah. Well, we did The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
We did Signs.
We did
The Village.
The Village.
I
would like to...
Unbreakable, I think, would be the next one, but we said we wanted to save that one for last so we could watch Unbreakable.
Split.
And then
when Glass comes out.
Watch Glass.
Do that one. I say we have him watch the visit.
Yeah.
And then send them over to Grandma and Grandpa's for a weekend. Because I'm the type of dad that would do that.
This is the one thing that I thought was interesting, though. I mean, he's getting all of the twists. Mm-hmm. He's getting them when they come up. And I think he's enjoying the films. But the one thing that made me laugh was his one comment was, how come all of his movies start with the? Why is it the something?
Yeah.
The Sixth Sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The
Village.
Yeah.
The Visit.
Yeah. Oh, we have Lady in the Water, too.
Oh, yeah.
The Lady in the Water. So.
The only one that didn't have the was Signs.
That is true. It's not the Signs.
And honestly, I think I liked all of them, but I think that one was my.
Yeah.
It's at the top of my list.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Yeah. The Village I like, but it's like. It's one of those ones where, to me, you watched it the first time, and then
it doesn't hold the same.
It's like, oh, okay. I mean, the second time around, it's like watching Where's Waldo, because you pick up on the little nuances. Like,
you do that with the Sixth Sense too, though.
Yeah.
When you watch it the second time, you're like, I really could have sworn that he was talking, that he talked to adults, that he talked to other people. But when watching it the second time, you realize, no, he never really did.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing, but it just doesn't seem as fun as trying to find the different things in The Sixth Sense. Yeah. But yeah.
What's the matter, Bella? But. Okay, well, that is this episode of Huh? Want to thank the Farsighted once again. Justin, Blaine, everyone at Grindhouse Messiah, and...
I'll be the one to bring it up this time. Didn't your episode drop?
Oh, it did, yes. Great episode talking about Six String Samurai and Turbo Kid. Go over to Farsighted and listen to the latest Grindhouse Messiah episode. That is it for tonight.
All right, everyone. Till next time.
Peace.
This has been podcast. Let's see.